Politico, Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here online at philhendryshow.com and across the United States on our affiliates. And we welcome you to the program. And if you are looking for an affiliate, you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and there's an affiliate list there, and you can check that out. We've had a flurry of affiliate changes over the last, several months. So the best way to catch up is to check out the affiliate list. Some of those stations, we may not be on there Monday through Friday. We're now on weekends, and some of them we were on weekends, and now we're on Monday through Friday, and I don't know. In order to update yourself, find out where your local affiliate is, and then go over to that affiliate's website, and then click on their thing, and then do a whole lot of work that we won't do for you. All right, now, there's some very heavy news that I don't know. I only go to this news because it appears to be serious, and it is this hostage situation in Algeria. The United States is weighing in on it. 30 people have been killed, including 2 British citizens. Algerian forces, quote, defied international pleas for caution, and they stormed a BP gas field in the Sahara today. 11 or more Islamists, and what's happening down there is that these militants have taken over at least a part or all of this facility. And 11 or more Islamist militants were said to have died when Algerian special forces helicopters and, according to one account, warplanes launched a series of attacks on the sprawling complex seized by an Islamist group linked to Al-Qaeda on Wednesday. 20 Britons remain unaccounted for, according to Great Britain. David Cameron said earlier that Britain should be prepared for the possibility of further very difficult news following the death of a British oil worker in the initial Islamist attack. He postponed a speech he was due to give in Amsterdam today on Britain's future in Europe, saying he simply cannot be away until the crisis is resolved. Britain's future in Europe, that may sound heavy, but that just means the European Union and Britain's future dealings with the EU and other stuff that they're doing over there. You know, the European Union is an interesting entity in that most Americans don't really get it, and I feel very confident in saying that. Because I barely do. Not that I'm an example of the average American, but I just there's certain things I sense and some things that I don't sense. One of the things that I just saw here is that Americans are now more than ever before, not maybe even ever before, but more than in any other of the tragedies that we've had to endure, Americans are closer to the pro side of the gun control debate than they were. And it isn't because of anything other than the magnitude of what happened in Connecticut and obviously the heart-wrenching aspects of what happened in Connecticut that for some reason surpass other tragedies. And it has caused a lot of people who pretty much, and most of the people, when we talk about public opinion, folks, you're never talking about the real. You're never talking about the extreme. I shouldn't say extreme, but you're never talking about the activists. You got to understand something. It's really important, and this is what screws us up more than anything else. I know this from just having been in the media for as many years and been around focus groups, and I've been around audience studies, and I've been around surveys, and I've been around all that stuff, and you learn one thing. You learn that the really vocal, active people that you hear from are not the average person or the average voter or the average consumer. They are not. They are the squeaky wheel. There's no question about that. They get a lot of attention. They get a lot of people paying attention to them. They do not represent a lot of people. They just don't. That's just a fact. And it's as true with the Tea Party, for instance, as it is with the gun debate, where you hear a lot of very active people in favor of gun rights. I'm one of them. But I think I'm closer to a more typical voter because I'm a gun rights advocate. But this thing in Connecticut made me stop and say, wait a second. I've been paying a lot of attention to all the gun people and I've been supporting them. And okay, I've heard their message and I don't know how many times I got to come out in support of them. And now here are these children that are dead. And of course, the logical question I asked myself was, and where are we? When are we going to have the discussion about keeping kids alive. I've already done the discussion on your gun rights, and I got that, and I support it, and I'm in favor of it, and I don't want to see it go away, and I never want to see it go away, and I want everybody who's a responsible gun owner to have a responsible gun and to do the thing that they want to do with that. And I don't have, you know, I want you to know, first, last, and always, I don't want to do anything with your gun. I want to have a discussion. Do you mind? How do we save the lives of little kids in a school? Is that too much to ask? Now, when I asked that question, I asked it on Facebook, I got a bunch of jokes, which I understand because, Phil, primarily I'm a funny guy, you know. But I said, okay, thank you for the jokes, but does anybody have any real ideas? And I just went away, and I came back, it was like 9,000 comments, and I'm sure, you know, just getting the discussion activated in that direction. So the average person... You cannot, and I know that you know this, the people listening. I think there's a lot of people that, this is why primaries, you know, the party primaries are always not very indicative of what's going to happen many times. Not always, but many times. They say, wow, this guy's really got the will of the people. He's got the support of the people, and he's, look at all the people that are turning out, and people are in love with this guy. And then he gets into even the primary election, and then on to the general election, and all of a sudden nobody cares, because now you're hearing from more than just the choir that you've been preaching to. So, getting back to the EU and all of that, I got to tell you, I don't think anybody understands that. But England ain't even worrying about that right now because of the Algerian hostage thing.
So you're not talking about... By the way, I'm Bud Dickman.
Yeah, hi, Bud. I asked everybody to just kind of hold their tongue while I was...
You're not talking about anything but the Algeria?
Yes, it's a little confusing.
I'm talking about Algeria.
Well, that's nice because you went to gun control and you went to the EU and...
Yeah, I got to say something.
All right. I'm sorry. It's the Algeria thing.
The Algeria thing. Because, frankly, the other things you were talking about were more interesting.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You know,
what's the problem?
When you started talking about the other stuff, it was better than this.
I'm talking about this only, pardon me, but I'm going to talk about this because it's important.
Well, get through it fast because the other stuff's...
Yes, the other stuff's more interesting.
And by the way, Ted Bell got a resounding being on our show last night.
As I predicted.
Well, no, it wasn't him. People liked him, but then there were a lot of people that didn't. Including Ted, so...
He didn't like him?
Ted didn't like his own appearance.
When did he hear it?
He was on it. What do you mean, when did he hear it?
Didn't have to hear it, man. He was on it. Yeah, but did he... But then why does he say he didn't like it?
Because he was on the show.
Don't you understand? He's doing the show. Well, I suppose you don't really know. That is a very interesting point. No, you are an idiot.
All right.
Okay, yeah, I agree. So getting back to this important news, and then we will move on, because I don't want to upset anybody and bore anyone, but the fact of the matter remains, this is a very difficult day, and they've got this hostage situation for most of the day. Utter confusion surrounded the Algerian military operation. Tonight there were reports that some of the raiders were still defying the Algerian forces inside the gas extraction plant. This is what they do there. There were fears that the death toll might rise, an unknown number of foreign captives, and 600 Algerians were reported to have been freed or to have escaped from their captors during the assault. Algerian security forces said tonight that 30 hostages had died in the battle, including 8 Algerians, 2 Britons, 2 Japanese, 1 Frenchman, according to Algerian state television. And they said earlier that 2 Britons and 2 Filipinos were also, Algerian state television said 2 Britons and 2 Filipinos. So what happened was that Algerian special forces, and I guess special forces means something different.
I don't know. We're not...
Yeah, we ain't talking about a Navy SEAL.
I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about Algerian special forces. And so they... you know what? That's a big, big thing, man, to take on. I don't even know if an American assault group would be able to do that, because that's a lot of people to free, you know? And I don't know how you do it without...
Israel done it down in Tebbi.
Yeah, Israel did it. They did it. But you know what? That whole Entebbe thing was in the middle of the night in a very isolated... It was a bing-bing. Nobody even... I don't know. It was just... It was a handful of people with guns too. Those people that took the airliner, the Air France jet to Entebbe. It was just a handful. All right, I'm sitting here. I'm being extremely thoughtful, and I'm now sounding morose, and I'm talking about death. Can we move on now? Thank you. All right, it's the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be coming back here. The Monte Teo story is weird. Don Parsley is going to join us. Mr. Parsley has apparently lost his girlfriend in a similar fashion and has asked to be on the air to talk about what that means to him and other men and women who have lost loved ones while this farce, this hoax, plays out. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What's going on with the audio, man? I'm hearing you cutting in and cutting out.
I don't know.
We had a little cut in and cut out, and just cut out, baby, cut out. Anyway, Phil Henry Show, welcome to the program, 877-876-7445. And on the line with me is Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley is a businessman from Tucson, Arizona. He joins us on our Newsmaker line. And it was earlier this month, Mr. Parsley, in the month of January, not December, that you learned that your fiancée, Crystal, right? I didn't hear you.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I had her name right. Crystal went missing, and you were not aware of where she had gone to for several days. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bill. On the 2nd of January, she went missing from my townhouse in Tucson, and I immediately made the contacts that you're supposed to make. I called her father, I called her family, I called everyone that I knew. I was very, very distraught. I contacted...
Did you call the police?
The problem with the police is they tell you that you need 48 hours to contact them. And
You have to wait for it. This is the missing persons law, right?
I don't know if it's a law or not.
Well, it's... Yeah, Margaret?
It's the procedure of the police. They don't look for missing people for 48 hours because they feel this is an adult.
Yeah, why don't they do it?
They feel it's an adult.
Yeah, and the adult can make up their own mind.
That's how they explain it to me, that an adult is free to go wherever they want to go, so you can't report somebody missing because... So I was very distraught, and I finally found out. And this would have been on the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, on the 5th, on January 5th, I was called and told that she was hospitalized in Phoenix.
Hospitalized?
That is correct.
Did you speak with her?
No, I did not. And at that time, I asked the individual, this was a person from a newspaper, a weekly newspaper, and
hold on. She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And did you hear from a doctor?
I did not. Eventually, I heard from her sister, but I did not hear from the hospital until she was released, and she said she'd been in the hospital. So what happened, just to tell you, Phil, is she was hospitalized. I got a call from this weekly paper in Phoenix. I forget the name. I think it's the Torero Weekly.
Torero Weekly.
Yes.
Okay.
And they said that your fiance, this Crystal McKenna, has been hospitalized. And I said, I have been looking for her. And they said, you'll get a call from her sister, which I did. And I said, who are you? This individual identified himself as Jason Cooper, a writer for the paper. And
Now, why would a newspaper...
Well, because she's an actress appearing in a film that was shooting in Arizona, and they'd just done a cover story on it for their magazine. And I was...
So the hospital doesn't call you, right?
No, sir.
And the doctors don't call you? The family doesn't call you. The first word that you get that your girlfriend is missing, and the first word you get as to where she is from this newspaper.
Yes, exactly.
And how did you feel about that?
I was angry, and I told this gentleman, I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, how did you find out? He said, because I talked to some production people on the film, and they told me that she had been in an accident.
Well, what was the accident, by the way?
It was a automobile accident of some kind where she had been in a sports car, and apparently it overturned.
She was in a sports car. Was it hers?
No, it was not. It was a friend of hers.
And all right, so I just got a dot because it's a little confusing here. She left your townhouse.
Sometime on the night of the 2nd, yeah.
Sometime? Had you guys had a fight?
No, sir.
Was she planning on leaving you? Was there a...
No, sir, not that I knew of. Not that I knew of.
But she was in a sports... Was it a man she was in the sports car with?
No, sir, it was another woman. It was another woman. And I didn't get her name, but that woman is fine. But apparently there was some kind of an incident on the freeway where she was cut off and the car turned over. And so Crystal's hospitalized. I get in the car, this was on the 5th, and I said, well, I will drive to the hospital. I called the hospital, which was a place called Phoenix Receiving.
Phoenix Receiving.
That was the unit that she, it was the Phoenix, I think it was the Phoenix Receiving was the name that they told me. So I got in the car, and I was on the cell phone calling, you know, can I get through to her? Can I get through to me? And they said, no, she's sleeping. No, she's...
So all of this time, you're not able to talk to her. You're not able to see her.
Well, I couldn't very well see her. She was in Phoenix. But I know, you're right, I couldn't talk to her. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm driving from Tucson to Phoenix, which is a good four-hour drive, and calling. No, no, she's asleep. She's taking a shower. At one point, she's down using the candy machine, or so they said she's using one of the concession machines.
The concession machine? You mean like a...
Was it a Coke machine? Did they have that on the ward?
I do not know.
Well, they have in a hospital?
Yeah.
I guess they have that on another floor, don't they?
I do not know. They said she's down getting some candy out of a machine. I called back again, and she was talking to the doctor. And so,
why did they not put your call through whether she's talking to the doctor or not? I would have insisted on that.
I would have too. That's unbelievable. What's the name of the hospital again?
It is a sister's. It is a Carmelite nun. Facility. When I say Carmelite, that's run by the Catholic order. So it's a private hospital, and I was concerned because you know, obviously this costs money. I don't know the state of her insurance. I'm sure she's got good insurance, but
is she in Screen Actors Guild?
I don't know.
Because if she's an actress and she works in a movie, oh well, it could be non-union.
Well, let's assume that she has the insurance, but it's a private hospital.
It was a Carmelite nun. Well, that's what I saw, a Carmelite nun, when I pulled into the lot of the hospital. I pulled in, and I immediately, and I hadn't, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, I got out of my pajamas, into my clothes, got in the car, and took off. 4 hours later, I'm pulling into the parking lot of this hospital, and I saw a couple of the nuns coming out of the hospital.
But what did they look like?
What do you mean, what did they look like?
What's that mean?
Well, how do you know that it was Carmelite?
They had on the type of habit that I recognized because I'd done research for a documentary I'd been shooting on nuns, and it was a...
So you're in the film business?
You do documentaries.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I had been doing a documentary on religious orders, and I recognized the Carmelite habit. I went in and...
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they run the hospital.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I assumed that. When I went in, I saw there was a Carmelite monk there. And when I say Carmelite monk, they don't have a regular priest's robes. They wear the rather traditional monk robe.
So, all right, so we know the hospital was private. Did you then get to see her?
I asked where Crystal McKenna was, and they directed me to the 3rd floor. And I went into an anteroom or a waiting area, and the doctor was going to come out and talk to me.
And this whole thing with the guy in Notre Dame. You know, I haven't even asked you, Don, about your feelings about this kid at Notre Dame.
Well, the fact that he has perpetrated this hoax made things so difficult for myself and other men like me who are looking for women that they love, missing family members. I think it's a crime, and I think that this man at Notre Dame, I think it calls into question the entire Notre Dame football program.
I'd hold the line. Don Parsley with us as he describes to us losing his fiancée shortly after New Year's and the bizarre, so far, tale that he's telling us and trying to locate her. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. And Don Parsley on the line with us. Don is a listener. He's also a man who has been on our program before as a news contributor. But more on a personal note, he lost a fiancé on the 2nd of January. She went missing, I should say, Don.
That's correct, yeah.
You finally found her, Crystal McKenna, right?
That's her name, yes, sir.
All right. Finally found her on the 5th at a hospital in Phoenix.
I didn't find her, but I was directed there.
So that's where we are with the story. You get in a car and you drive to Tucson to Phoenix to find this woman. It's a hospital, a private hospital.
Yeah, I only mentioned that, Phil, because I was worried. The first thing I thought when I got off out of the car was I saw the hospital. It was a private hospital, and my thoughts were, I hope she's not too seriously hurt. I still understand. I still don't know what's wrong with her.
Yeah, and you made a bunch of phone calls that didn't go anywhere, right?
That's exactly right. I couldn't get through to a doctor, a nurse. I said to people, where is she? Well, she's on the third floor, and I went inside. And
all right, so you said that you went inside. You said, where is Crystal McKenna, et cetera, and they directed you to a, where was it?
Well, you said you were directed to a floor at anteroom?
Yeah, was the doctor there?
I'm sorry?
Was the doctor going to be there?
Was the doctor, yeah. They said go into that room, and I went into the anteroom, and there was a doctor that came and met me and asked me who I was there to see. I said, Crystal McKenna. I said, I got a call that she was in an accident. I said I was told, and he said to me, sir, Crystal McKenna died.
Oh, my God. They told you that she had died there?
What? Where was that?
That's what I'm...
Bud, that's when he went in there. They told us she died.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the story. You have to listen to the end of the story. They said, I'm sorry, sir, but she died. She was brought in with blunt force trauma to the head. And I said, was it an automobile accident? He said, no, sir. She was robbed while she was jogging. And I said, I you know, and my head begins.
What is this? This is bizarre.
Yeah. So
anyway, I said, I got to sit down because my head was swimming at this point. I said, is she a woman, a blonde-haired woman, about 5'6"? He said, yes. I said, and I can tell you she's got a tattoo of a butterfly on her shoulder. And he said, yes, sir. And I said, well, where? I said that the people have got to be told, you know, her family has got to be told. He said, well, if you want. I said, but we were in contact with them. I said, well, when did it happen?
Yeah, because they had just been on the phone with you, right?
What's that?
They had just been on the phone with you.
You had called the hospital.
Yeah, I'd called the hospital. I'd asked what floor. Where is she? She's with a doctor, you know.
You said that she went and got a candy.
Yes, I did. I said she went and got candy and got a milkshake. They said at one point she's gone off to get a milkshake.
Where do you go get a milkshake?
In the hospital. Where did they get, yeah.
But probably about a Burger King next door or something like that.
Yeah, but you're not going to walk out of a hospital to a Burger King if you're in a hospital gown.
Well, you could if you put your pants.
Well, Understand this woman is a patient.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of any of that, but I was driving there, and I finally got there, and they said she's dead, and I said, you know, and at that point I left because they said there's nothing more. You know, we tried to do everything that we could do, and we did everything that we could, and she's gone. She's just gone, you know. So I went back and got in my car, and I started to drive out of the parking lot. And that's when I saw her.
You saw her?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, this is the part that drives me. I saw her sitting on a bus bench, and I could tell you, I got out of the car. I was so absolutely stunned and so absolutely happy to see her, and at the same time angry and confused. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "I was going to leave you, and I changed my mind, and I was literally now going to catch the crosstown bus to meet up with a friend of mine who has some money." And I said, "Where were you going?" She said, "I'm going over here to the bar on the outskirts of Phoenix." And I said, "For what?" She said, "For money, so I could catch the next Greyhound back to Tucson." And I said, "Well, you can get in the car with me." And she said, I love you, and yes, I do want to do that, but I still..." Because she said, "Now that this person's going to meet me with the money, I'll go ahead and borrow it anyway, because that'll be some extra cash." And I said, "I don't understand, you know."
This is a woman that's employed.
Yes, ma'am.
And she's employed. She's suddenly in. She sounds to me like she had some kind of amnesia.
Yeah, it sounds to me like she did have head trauma, and that maybe they released her from the hospital prematurely.
Well, that's what I thought of. I immediately went to that, Phil, and I thought, "I think I need to take you back to the hospital." And at that time, she said to me, "No, no, I'm fine. I feel better." She said, "I had a headache, but it's gone now." I said, I just don't think you're okay." She said, "Just get me to the cask. They're closing." She said, it's almost last call." And
almost last call.
This sounds like a woman that is in very serious need of care.
Well, I took her over there anyway, because she said she was meeting this person. I waited in the parking lot for about an hour, and I went in, and she's having, you know, she's sitting there at the bar doing shots, and I got to tell you, Phil, I almost lost my temper.
I would have lost my temper a long time before that. What the hell is this? She's in the bar doing shots?
Yeah, she's sitting there with a guy named Rick or Ricky, something like that. One of these guys, he rides a motorcycle, and I said, "Okay, are you done yet?" And she said, "Be nice to me now, because Ricky here," and she introduced me to this guy.
Wait. You're dealing here with a woman that's got a problem, man. You know, you're dealing with a woman that's got a serious problem. She's either got some kind of a mental problem, or she had an injury that caused some level of amnesia, or what they call a fugue. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Have you ever heard of a fugue?
A fugue?
Yeah, fugue. F-U-G-U-E.
I have not.
This is a mental state that sometimes people have where they lose their memory for a period of time. Okay? It can be brought on by a head trauma. It can be brought on by just an emotional event. I've heard of people suddenly they have this state of amnesia. It can last for a few hours. It can last for a day. It can last for a week. And people wake up, and they don't know where they are. They said they're in another town, and they completely have forgotten.
And this is the result of what?
This can be the result of some previous brain injury or head injury. It can be the result of an emotional jarring event that causes. So did the doctor or anybody talk to you about that?
I don't know if they did. I wouldn't know if fugue. I don't know, but it sounds like maybe that's it. I finally got her out of the bar, and I said, I thanked this guy, Ricky, and he said, "No, you know, he was a very nice guy, I shouldn't say, you know, he had a motorcycle," and I said, "Ricky, thank you," and he was very nice. I gave him a couple of bucks, you know, because he wanted a drink, and I said, "All right," and I got her in the car, and to be honest with you, Phil, I kept driving and driving, and it was almost like I was racing the wind. I remember speeding down the 10. We were on our way back to Tucson, and I looked to my right. There was Crystal, and her hair was flying in the wind, and she was laughing. And it was almost as if I was with a wild horse, and I looked at the stars racing past me, and I saw Crystal's hair blowing in the wind and the car beneath me, and I felt all of a sudden like I was in control of none of it. It was all carrying me along. And at one point, she looked at me and laughed. And it was then that I felt as if I was in some dream state.
Hold on for a minute here, because we got to separate fantasy from...
Sounds like a movie that I would see or something like that.
Yeah. Sound like a movie that you were in or something.
He's not in a movie. He's describing... What do you mean you lost track of...
Well, I didn't lose track.
Well, you said that you felt like the thing was... What was going on with you?
Well, all right. So we get back to Tucson.
No. Hold on for a minute. You get back to Tucson. In the middle of the drive to Tucson, her hair is in the wind.
Her hair is in the wind, yeah. And in other words, I was having...
It sounds to me like some hallucination.
Yeah, exactly. And as I remembered it and as I experienced it, I thought I was on LSD or something.
Maybe that was it. Maybe you was on LSD.
I don't, when we got back to Tucson.
Well, how did you get back to Tucson if suddenly you're looking and her hair is in the wind and the stars are racing by?
Well, I made it back. I mean, at some point, I collected myself.
All right.
And I got back, but that's when I woke up. And
what do you mean you woke up?
Because I did. I had a period of when the time I got home and I got back to the condo, I blacked out somehow. But when I woke up, I was laying next to a small stuffed animal that my niece had given me as a little funny thing when I was in the hospital having back surgery, and she'd given me this little stuffed animal. And that's when I found out that indeed I had a message on my voicemail from this hospital asking me if I was okay, that I'd come into that hospital the night before holding this bear, and I wanted a gurney for it.
What?
What do you mean? Are you telling me that you hallucinated this entire event?
Yeah, I did. Now, I've been able to trace this back to a bowl of punch at a card game that I was at earlier in the afternoon of the 5th, and this was at Ray Bocason's house. This is a guy who is a tout. He touts local races, and I've known the guy for years, and he has a regular card game. But there was a bowl of punch.
Well, forget about the bowl of punch in the car. Are you telling me that you got dosed with some kind of hallucinogenic?
That's my belief.
And the teddy bear?
That was Crystal.
Have you ever had a girlfriend named Crystal?
Yes, sir.
Have you, Crystal McKenna?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever, was she an actress?
Yes, she was.
Well, all right, where does she fit into all of this?
I haven't seen her in a year.
Well, then, why did you say to us that your girlfriend was missing?
Because I was giving you the details of this as I was experiencing it. Okay.
Well, it would have saved us a lot of time if you would have said, by the way, this girlfriend doesn't exist.
I got to be honest with you, Mr. Henry, I didn't even think. I thought for sure you had already figured that out.
Why would I figure that out? Nobody told me.
No, he told me, but I wasn't.
What do you mean he told you?
I had told a guy named Bud Dick. Is that who's been in the background there?
Yes. What do you mean he told you?
He told us that when he called us. And I said, okay, and he said, a girlfriend, she doesn't exist. I was a teddy bear. But he said, please don't mention the fact that I might have been trying to have sex with a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want you to mention that, which you just did.
I'm sorry, but, you know.
But I didn't tell you not to mention that my girlfriend, I didn't tell you not to mention that my girlfriend doesn't exist, you see.
When he told you not to mention that he tried to have sex with a teddy bear, he also told you...
This is absurd. I am getting up now to go get a drink of water. I'm not going to the bathroom, thank you.
All right.
Why do you need to tell everybody that?
That's none of your business. And you know something, Mr. Parsley? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I did not have sex with a bear.
That's not it, sir. It's the whole stupid, asinine story that you've been telling here. And the fact... I suppose I shouldn't blame you 100%.
No, because I told these men that I talked to, I said to them, she doesn't exist.
All right, but you should have said something to me while you were telling the story.
I wanted to give it to you in real time. That's what I was told to do.
I didn't tell him the real... I said, just tell a story. And he said, don't mention a teddy bear.
No, I said, don't mention the fact... I said, don't mention the teddy bear. Yeah, you didn't mention the girlfriend.
Well, I said you didn't want to say none of it.
All right. I want you to hold on, Mr. Parsley, because I'm not done with you. And I'm not done with you two guys either.
I didn't do anything wrong, man. We did everything the guy told us.
The guy didn't tell you not to mention his girlfriend doesn't exist. He told you not to mention the fact that he tried to have sexual relations with a teddy bear. Okay, that's what he told you.
That's not... No.
Well, then somebody ain't coming clean with me. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley, who didn't lose his girlfriend. He hallucinated it from a punch that he drank at a card game with his friend who's a racetrack tout. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Don, Phil Hendry here, 877-876, Phil. Don Parsley on the line with us. I'm not saying anything other than you should have said to me on the air that your girlfriend doesn't exist. You said you saw her.
I saw her. I'm telling you, Mr. Hendry, that I had taken the punch that I had at Mr. My friend's house, and I had drank that punch.
You're telling me that you took hallucinogenic unbeknownst to you?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you knew that. And I've already talked to my staff, and I've told them that they should have informed me. They said that you told them not to say anything about this teddy bear. Now,
And now that's the part that's come out that I did not want to come out of. And obviously it's embarrassing. And...
Well, the whole story is very weird, and it's not only weird, it's that you would lay it out on the air as if it was true. That's the part that disturbs me.
I did not, sir, and I'm going to reject that.
Excuse me, sir, Mr. Parsley, I was here. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm one of the panelists.
You're one of what?
I said I'm one of the panelists.
All right, I don't know what that is.
She's a co-host.
I'm a co-host on the show.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard everything you said. You did not at any time say, and by the way, Mr. Hendry, these events did not take place because I was under the influence of a hallucinogenic drug.
I had said to the gentleman that I spoke with, and excuse me, I forgot their names, do not mention the teddy bear, but I never said to them, don't mention the girlfriend, that don't mention that she was not real.
Well...
Okay, you know something? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't.
You're not going to give me any credit.
No, I'm not going to give you any credit for that. Whether these guys remember to say it or not, frankly, if I were in their position, I probably would have remembered the more shocking of that at the time you told them was the attempted, whatever you're doing with this teddy bear. Now,
I want to say one thing. It was not any kind of assault because it's a teddy bear.
I didn't say it was an assault. I said that it was a strange act and very indicative of a disturbed mind, but the fact that you were on a hallucinogenic drug explains a little bit of it. The fact that you didn't tell me anything bothers me a lot. It makes me feel like you're trying to perpetrate or were trying to perpetrate the very hoax that this man, Mr. Teo, perpetrated there in South Bend.
I am not perpetrating a hoax, and I again will say to you, I didn't, Mr. Hendry, I did not deny anything. I didn't hold anything back from you. I told you that she did not exist as I told the story and as it played out logically in sequence and the way that the story is supposed to go. When you tell a story,
And excuse me, sir, I know how to tell a story.
Well, hold on, because when I'm just saying, when you tell a story, you start at the beginning and you lay it out in a sequential and chronological way, and when you go to the middle of it, and then you go to the end of it, and then you say, and so that happened, and that's what I was trying to do.
But you never told me in the story that the girlfriend didn't exist.
Because I told the men, and I understand now I made a mistake, but I told the men that talked to me when the phone got picked up when I called.
I know you're nervous, and I know you're upset, and I'm sorry, but this thing that's going on in Notre Dame, what did you want to say about that? That this guy is somehow less than you because he lied and you didn't?
I did not lie, sir. I did not lie.
All right, you know, there's all kinds of prevarication, and there's all kinds of you know, fabrication. You're...
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to define what you meant by that. By the other word, not the last word, but the other one.
The one that came before the other one.
The one that came before the other one. I don't know.
Prevarication. It means lie.
What is fabrication? That's lie, too.
There are different ways of talking about, you know, fabricating, prevarication. There are subtle changes and differences. I would suggest, sir, that you get a dictionary and you learn meanings of words, because I'm not here to give an English class.
All right, Mr. Andrew, there's no reason to be sarcastic. I'm simply saying, and this man, Mr. Tao, has made it very difficult for those of us looking for loved ones that are lost, even if we hallucinated them, and I understand that sounds asinine, but the fact is, I was really frightened that I'd lost my girlfriend. When I found out that I hadn't seen her in a year, and that she was not sleeping with me the night before, but that in fact, a teddy bear was, it did not negate the feelings I had for this man.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and yes, I was just suppressing a belch. Should anybody...
Well, that... I didn't bring that up, but as long as you did, that's what we were talking about last night.
Yeah, and I don't care about what we were talking about last night, because that was ridiculous. You know, you guys got this hang-up about belching.
You'd say to people... You always talk about people not...
You're always talking about people's personal habits and behavior, and yet you let one rip.
It's a belch. It's not a fart. It's not a... You know what I'm saying? And besides, I don't, quote, let one rip. I actually try to be a gentleman about it and suppress it, you know? As long as you're talking about suppressives. We were talking about Scientology.
That's got nothing to do with what a... Oh, my God!
But, Mr. Hunter, you know a suppressive is not somebody that hold a belch back.
I know that, man, in terms of Scientology.
Yes.
I know what it is in terms of Scientology. I applied the word to belches, that's all. I understand what it is. And by the way, bud, you can call him. Let me just tell everybody, welcome to the show, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods, will be on with us this hour. Bud, you can call back Mr. Parsley, and you can tell him that what he was attempting to do to that teddy bear that his niece gave him is not sexual assault, but still, it was a weird thing brought on perhaps by the hallucinogenic. And if you're just joining us, we concluded an interview with a man who was giving us a big long song and a dance about how he lost his girlfriend the same way this Monty Tao did, or Monty Tao, or Monty Tao, is that his name?
Monty, M-O-N-T-E, isn't it?
No, it's not Monty. It's pronounced like that. It's M-O-N-T-I.
Yeah, it's a Hawaiian song. It's a Hawaiian language.
Yeah.
It's, in other words, it's Polynesian.
Yes. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
You were talking about Mr. Parsley.
But yeah, Don Parsley. So, make a long story short, this guy is... He dropped acid or something. He got a dose of acid out of a punch bowl at a card game, and that's what happened to him. He wakes up next to a teddy bear, and the you know,
woke up next to a teddy bear, he sexually assaulted him.
You cannot sexually assault a teddy bear.
Don't you understand, man? It's not a real... Yeah, no, I know, but you go to jail for it.
No, you can't go to jail for it. No.
Bud, you'll go to a mental institution before you go to a jail cell.
Do you understand the difference? So you're not going to go to jail for it, so he didn't commit a crime, so you can put the phone down, man. Bud's sitting here through the whole break with the phone, should I call?
I was going to, you know, got all these people doing crazy stuff.
You don't have to call the cops on that. I would never waste the police officer's time with going to arrest a guy because he sexually assaulted a teddy bear. What I would do, though, and I'll tell you something, Mr. Parsley, if you're listening, it's a good thing we didn't call the cops, because the first thing he'd do would get some nut wagon out there.
Oh, yeah, that would be a 70... What is that? 72 or 82-hour observation.
72.
You know for sure.
Because 72 works out to a number of days.
Well, how many? You're the one that opened your big fat mouth. How many?
I opened my big fat mouth? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, how many days is it?
How many days is what?
72 hours.
What's 24 into 7? I don't know if it's a number of days.
Ah, there we go. I think, to answer your question, Phil, it is... No, it's 72...
It's 72 hours, I think, is the holding, right?
You were thinking of a golf tournament. How many holes in a 5-round... Isn't that what...
Yeah, that's it. Because of the Bill Cosby tournament.
What in the hell are you guys saying?
Mr. Henry, you're thinking of 18 times something, not 24 times something.
No, but I'm still saying 72-hour observation is standard psychiatric observation for people that a police officer or another authority thinks may hurt themselves or another person. That's what the law requires. Is the individual going to hurt themselves or another person? And they give them a standard 72-hour observation, after which they must let them go. You can't keep somebody inside. No, I'm not thinking of a golf tournament.
Well, you said it was 24 and 72.
Yeah, that I got wrong. You're right. 24, 48, 70, 20, wait a second. 24, 20 is 44, 48 hour, then 20 is 68. Yeah, it is. 72 is I don't know. It's 3 days.
It is not. It is 3 days.
Yeah, it is 3 days.
See?
It's still the number of holes in a golf tournament.
Well, it's not the number of holes in a golf tournament.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. 18's a hole. I'm not going to... Just be quiet, please. All right. Welcome back to our show.
Oh, just be quiet. Oh, everybody be quiet because I'm wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. 72 holes may be 72 holes. You know?
That reminds me of a joke, by the way, if I may just break things up. A guy...
Never mind the joke, okay? I've heard that joke.
What is it?
Don't worry about it. It's a guy that's got 17 daughters.
Oh, my God. You were going to tell that joke.
I didn't tell the joke. I told it once, and that's the end of that. You know?
That's the joke you told to that rock and roll band, right?
I told that joke to Foreigner, and it was like, why am I even here? I should just walk away. It was the most crude...
That's the funniest joke I ever heard.
We're not going to repeat the joke, I'm telling you.
Can't even give the punchline.
If you give the punchline, you give away the joke. No.
I don't want to hear it.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So we've been talking about that Monte Teo, that very bizarre story. As it turns out, not as it turns out, but I will tell you this. I believe that I think we called it right last night when we said that this guy is this cat is making this up for some reason, highly personal. It could very well be that he was making, now this is just my opinion, okay? So we haven't determined this yet.
No, I don't think anyone is ever really going to find out what happened here.
Why?
Well, I don't think anyone will really, really know the story of what happened here now. They'll never believe it. I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret, would you please resist turning everything into a...
Into a what, Phil?
Into a documentary on, you know, some heavy...
I'm just saying, if you'll pardon me. What do you mean a documentary?
Oh, they'll never believe here and now. I'm Margaret Gray. We're not talking about Gettysburg, okay?
I know we're not... I'm saying that, you know what? Screw you and the cavalry behind. Speaking of Gettysburg.
Well, Margaret, you know, at least you're not going to the toilet.
I'm just looking for a box of tap.
Oh, okay. She is going to the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, to me, it's really funny. By the way, 72 hours is 3 days.
No, it isn't. It's...
Yes, it is. 72 hours is 3 days. It may be the number of holes in a seven-round golf tournament. I don't know. I don't think it is. 18 holes, 54 holes is a 18, 1, 2. I don't know, man. You know, I don't know, okay? Who's who in the Monte Teo fake dead girlfriend scandal? The story of a celebrated Notre Dame linebacker whose tragic story turned out to be a hoax has captured the nation's attention. Here's a guide to the major players in the scandal, real and otherwise. A star Notre Dame linebacker who helped the Irish to an undefeated season, Monte Teo was a respected student with a tragic personal story. The deaths of his grandmother and his girlfriend, Lene Kekua, allegedly in early September, which only helped him play harder. That is, however, until an investigation by the sports blog Deadspin revealed that Kekua never existed. Teo's grandmother, Teo reportedly spoke at length about his relationship with her, how they would write letters and talk on the phone while she fought leukemia after surviving a serious car accident. Teo's family even referred to her as their potential daughter-in-law, but now Teo says he's the victim of a hoax. In a statement following Deadspin's investigation, he says he developed an emotional relationship with a woman he met online, which contradicts the previous story that Teo and Kekua met after a Stanford-Notre Dame football game. That's why I think the guy is making it up, because this cat is contradicting himself. He said as of December the 6th, he knew that the story was a hoax, but he didn't tell Notre Dame apparently until the 26th, and in between he had given some media interviews in which he referenced this girlfriend. I think the guy himself is making this stuff up. Coming up, we've got Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, one of the top grocery store chains in the country, to comment on the Monte Teo story and its ramifications.
I just want the owner of a grocery chain.
That's right. He's, you know, we'll be right back. Well, don't, that's my decision.
That is pretty weird. The guy's stocking the shelves. And now, you never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
True.
Now, stocking the shelves, I'm going to talk about that.
The Phil Henry
weird.
Show.
I'm just saying it's weird. That, may I say that?
Go ahead. All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we are online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. We've got a backstage pass there for you, just for you, so you can watch our online video cast each night, so you can listen to every day's podcast the next day, so you can access close to 5,000 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade right there on philhenryshow.com. There are going to be future video events as we are transitioning our website from one platform to another. We not only have a new design, we're going to have many more features, especially for our Backstage Pass members. If nothing else, we're going to have a special member login site.
It's gonna be patterned basically after the porn sites.
Yeah, it's going to be patterned. Will you shut up? It's not being patterned after a porn site.
Why don't you gag him?
No, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, you just did, didn't you?
I'm saying that the people that pioneered the subscriptions business were porn.
Yeah, that's right. The people that Will you knock it off, bud?
Man, why don't you just shut up? Well,
I made one comment to him, Margaret. I said it has an online. It'll have a place for member login like porn sites, and now all of a sudden,
well, you're the one that put that bee in his bonnet.
Yeah, you put it in my bonnet.
Did I put it in your bonnet? Really? I didn't know you wore a bonnet, bud. Only babies wear bonnets.
What a chop, man. No. That doesn't harm me. I don't feel that.
Well, all right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't keep shaking your head, bud. It was a good enough burn where it was able to conclude this. All right. Robert Green is going to be joining us here online at philhenryshow.com in just a moment to talk with, and also on our radio show, The Phil Henry Show. To talk with us here in just a moment about this Monte Teo story. And I don't mean to go long with this story, but I do believe that it is worthy of discussion because they bring up a thing called catfishing. Now, the athletic director at Notre Dame is a guy by the name of Jack Swarbrick, who apparently, if you'll pardon me for saying, is either the most gullible guy that the world has ever known, or maybe not all that gullible. Maybe he's just a kind guy with a little bit of gullibility, or he is dishonest. I don't think it's dishonesty. I think it's an athletic director looking to protect one of his one of the members of a very valued institution, Notre Dame, to wit, the football team. And he doesn't want to come out and call the kid a liar. The first thing that he's going to do is circle the wagons, protect the kid, protect the program, protect Notre Dame's good name, and say, well, now, wait a minute, you know, I think this kid's a victim, too, just like everybody else. He brings up this thing called catfishing. Catfishing, as I understand it, is the creation of a very attractive online persona in order to attract someone to begin a relationship with you, and hence you get this person to fall in love with you, or whoever this person is.
And they call it catfishing because my understanding is catfish fight as if they're bigger fish.
Yeah, that's right. A catfish is going to put on a fight. Well, what do you know about it? Well, I better not say.
Hey, bud, I swear to God, you know, and I'm not kidding, I'm going to not only punch you, I'm going to fire you. Okay, I'm getting sick and tired of you with the race references.
I know that he was going to say that. I just was going to say, if Roberts, don't do it, man.
You know, why, bud? Just because he's black, his family must have been fishing for catfish. You know that catfish is, the first time I ever ate a catfish sandwich, which was the last, by the way, was in a barbecue restaurant in the South run by a bunch of white people. You know, it's not a racial thing, okay? It's mostly like probably a poor person thing that became a, well, I don't know what you want to call a Southern delicacy slash, you know, rather an entree with some cachet. You know, it's been identified with Southern eating.
You don't like it, though.
I don't like catfish. No way, no way. No, man. No way for me, man.
What do you like to have? You eat shark?
Do I eat shark? What's that got to do with anything?
I don't know. Just, it's a weird fish.
As a matter of fact, I have eaten shark, and I like it.
Oh, my God. You eat shark?
Yeah.
It's a meat eater.
Let me tell you something about... You see, this is something people have wrong. Meat eaters got nothing to do with it. Meat eaters got... People say, oh, I don't eat that because it's a meat eater. I don't eat lion because it's a meat... The reason why we don't eat lion, and the reason why we don't eat cat, and the reason why we don't eat these kinds of animals traditionally is for one reason and one reason only. They were not bred to be eaten, okay?
Well, Phil, you're beginning to do my cadence, and...
Yeah, Ms. Ray's the one that goes, eaten.
Well, guess what, Margaret? You're not the only one that gets to do that, okay?
All right. God, you don't have to talk to me like I'm a maid.
Well, I'm just trying to get the show back on track. Now,
you know, see, you got to get show back on track, but you ain't never know.
Yeah. Don't do the shorthand, man.
He's doing shorthand because you want to get the show back on track. So you always say you want to get show back track, but you not know. There.
In any event, that was shorthand, folks, in case you don't know. All right, in any event, the reason why we don't eat meat is because we never bred animals that are meat eaters for consumption. Why, okay?
Because it don't taste good.
Wrong. Wrong. The reason why we don't breed meat eaters for consumption is because they take too much food. It takes too much to feed them. Meat eaters require far more in terms of calories, in terms of a daily expenditure of money to feed than do the herbivores such as cows, etc. So in other words, to domesticate a meat-eating animal, let's say, like a lion, which is a big cat, and that would be the only kind of an animal that you would want to domesticate for food purposes. You want a big animal. To domesticate that creature and then feed it, we learned long ago as human beings, not worth it, ain't gonna happen, costs too much, because you have to feed that meat eater basically an animal, another animal. That's way more expensive and far more troubling and troublesome and time-consuming.
I'd say it's trouble. You got to feed it a dog and everything. That's bad.
You wouldn't do that. You'd probably, if you were going to do it, you'd raise another kind of animal. But it's ridiculous, and that's why man, the human race, decided long ago, centuries ago, thousands of years ago, forget it.
I wonder who the first person was that decided, you know...
Yeah, I'd like to know about that.
Some guy, some farmer, one guy probably said, hey, why don't we raise those animals? Hey, you know how much it's going to cost?
Maybe how much it's going to cost. They didn't have no money then.
It doesn't matter. So, as a result, it's a lot easier to grow grain or whatever it is that a cow eats than it is to grow whatever the hell, you know, to raise up another animal to feed to an animal. So that became the end of that. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the taste. And human beings, you know, we've got ourselves faked into this, you know.
Well, I saw Ted Nugent on TV one time, and he's a hunter. And Ted Nugent said, they said, would you ever eat a meat eater? He said, no. They said, would you ever eat a dog or a cat? That was it, because he's all a hunter and everything. And he said, no, it's a meat eater.
Meaning he wouldn't eat it because he thinks it tastes bad.
Yes, that was right. So, and that's Ted Nugent.
Well, that may be Ted Nugent, and he might be a good hunter, but he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground about why we don't eat meat eaters. That's why we don't. It's got nothing to do with taste. Maybe he doesn't think they taste good, but I got news for you. It's all in his head. It's got nothing to do with that.
All right, would you then why not eat a puppy dog when you go down to Thailand to relax with the boys? I'm only kidding.
Shut up.
I'm only kidding.
It's not a funny joke. And I would never do that because I have a great warmth of feeling for our domesticated dogs and cats. I'm not going to do that. Same reason why I don't eat swine anymore.
Yeah, you don't eat swine because they're like...
Why? Because of Babe? Oh, my God.
You don't eat swine on account of Babe.
Not on account of Babe, but because pigs are... Yeah, that's right. They're highly intelligent, and I like pigs, and I ain't going to eat them anymore. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, but a guy made a steer out of a pet that one time, and you laughed about it.
Who?
That guy up in the desert?
You said the guy that repaired Packard's.
I didn't eat those steaks.
Well, but he was, wasn't that a pet?
No, it was not a pet. The guy had a steer. This guy was an auto mechanic in the middle of the desert that I went to visit one time with friends of mine. And the dude had a steer in the backyard. And when I came back to the guy's house the next time, like a few months later, he opened up a freezer. There were all the steaks. But that wasn't a pet. That was a steer that he was going to eat. Okay?
Well, I don't... Sounds pretty far out to me.
What does? Eating steak?
The fact that he's got a steer in the backyard and he's repairing cars.
Yeah, it sounds pretty far out to me, too.
Is that right? We'll be right back. Robert Greene coming up next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to talk more about Monte Tail on the Phil Henry Show.
On the Phil Henry Show.
Sounds pretty far out to me.
Phil Henry.
Robert Greene joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from Fraser Foods, Buena Park, California, a 30-store chain in the American Southwest and opening stores in the Southeast. And, Bob, always good to have you on the line with us.
Always good to be with you, sir.
I know that we're talking to you this hour about this Monte Tail story, and I know that you wanted to address Ms. Gray here.
I'm very happy to talk to you, Bob. I did not mean any offense. I'm just wondering why we have...
Well, Ms. Gray, I will tell you this much. It is not a criticism that my family is not used to.
I did not mean it as a criticism.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I will accept your explanation, but believe me when I tell you, Ms. Gray, I come from a family of grocery clerks. And I know that, you know, people look down on grocery clerks. We're nothing but lowlifes.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, Margaret, I mean, to be fair, you said, why is a grocery store? You said the words, grocery clerk.
That's okay, Phil. I'll accept your apologies, Ms. Gray. I know that you were speaking from, you wondered what my connection was to the story, and I'll be very happy to tell you. But first, I just want to say... I come from a family of grocery clerks, a long line of grocery clerks, and I'm aware of our reputation out there in society that we're, we're lowlifes, that we are the scum of the earth.
Wait a minute,
You're not the scum of the earth.
I'm going to say, why do you say grocery clerks are the scum of the earth?
That is the perception, I think, that most people have.
Yeah, I know a lot. My cousin was a grocery clerk. He's the scum of the earth.
What do you mean your cousin was the scum of the earth?
He's a grocery clerk. Think about it.
Yeah. Well, no, I am thinking about it.
Why is he the scum of the earth?
Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
You know, you can sit there and we can ask why until the cows come home. You just heard one of your staff say that his cousin was a grocery clerk and he's the scum of the earth. Now, I can sit here and tell you, and I can tell you for sure, we are not the scum of the earth, but your man there thinks that we are.
Why do you say that about your cousin?
Think about it. Just think about it. Grocery clerk.
Yeah, the grocery clerk.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking real hard.
Well, Phil, you could think until your brain dries up, and you'll never come up with a reason why we're the scum of the earth, but that's the perception. I'm not even angry at your man there.
Well, my name's Bud Dickman, sir.
That's fine. You call a grocery clerk the scum of the earth, I'm going to refer to you by your name, Bud Dickman. Bud, that's all right. Because I forgive all when it comes to that, because guess what? I own the grocery stores, and I make a lot of money.
Well, all right, so you get your revenge.
It's not revenge. It's not revenge at all. I'm very, very happy to provide a service and to provide food and to provide the nourishment for the families of the areas that our stores are in. Maybe you've even shopped at our store, Ms. Gray. Maybe you haven't, but I'm happy to have you as a customer. And even though I'm a low-lying, no-good, two-bit, cheating, lying, murderous grocery clerk, I'm happy to do that.
Well, that entire description that you just gave right there, a low-lying, cheap, murderous...
But, Phil, hold on. That really is the perception.
I've never heard that.
No, it is.
Yeah, Phil, it's one thing that the four of us, myself and the lady and the two guys agree on, is that you don't know what you're talking about.
But you say it isn't true.
Of course it isn't true. But the perception is that we are... let me ask a question. When did you ever hear different?
Bob, I've been going to grocery stores.
No, I'm not talking about going to the grocery, but when have you ever heard different? We're grocery clerks. We are the dregs. And I've been around some real garbage in my life, but I tell you, the way that people perceive us...
Well, I've never, ever heard that.
I have, and I will tell you, I agree with Bud in that instance. They are the dirty, filthy... I dated a grocery clerk.
Oh, boy.
Yes, that's right. Oh, boy.
You know, Ms. Gray, I know enough about you to know that when you say you dated someone, here comes the pornography.
That is absolutely not true.
Well, Ms. Gray, it is, because you told a story about a man ate a sandwich.
Oh, I forget his name now.
I thought you said his name was Alfie.
Alfie? What are you smoking, Alfie?
No, you said, oh, I know it, like, Avi or Tali.
In any event, that was the Greek... Yes, okay, that was pornographic. The grocery clerk that I went out with was not pornography. It was a night of depravity. And I won't go any further.
See what I'm saying? And who knows if this story's true?
It is absolutely true.
All right, I'm not going to go any further with the maligning of a group of people who work for a living. I will not do it. As far as my experience goes, grocery clerks... And whatever that, you know, people that work in grocery stores are fine people just like everybody else. They've never done me any wrong. And for you people to sit here and talk about this, that, and something else. And did you ever get robbed by a grocery clerk, Bud?
No.
Did you ever get stabbed, murdered? What about you, Robert?
No, I haven't, but everybody knows.
It's common knowledge.
It is not common knowledge.
Well, it is common knowledge, Phil. It's the perception. It's not the reality. It's the perception. I get it all the time. I'm telling you right now, I've had troubles. I'll give you an example. I had a reservation, and I won't mention the hotel, but a very, very a fine hotel in San Francisco, and I had reservations. I walked in, I'm Mr. Green. I'm with Fraser Foods, and they looked me right in the eye after taking my reservation from my secretary, and they said, you know what, we don't seem to have it. And we're sorry, Mr. Green. And, you know, that's when I said, Bob Green of Fraser Foods. And I just said Bob Green, but they still wouldn't have given me the room because it was written down there because we like to get the company discount, you know.
Well, then don't put down where you work.
I'm not going to be ashamed of what I do for a living.
Why should he not put it down? If he wants to get the corporate discount, why can't he put it down?
You're going to see that he's from Fraser Food, and he'll be worried.
Yeah, and I said to this guy, look, I know you're only doing your job, and I know there's somebody heavier than you that's telling you don't give rooms to grocery clerks, but I will tell you this, you know.
What did you say?
It's very emotional.
You don't want to tell us?
I will. I said, I'll tell you this. I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. Now, I don't know to you, I look like a big, ugly slob and a freak, but I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. You put that down there in your little reservation pad, mister. Bob Crane was no punk. Bob Crane almost was the chairman of the board of bonds.
Bob, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Oh, look, Bob, you have my respect and my esteem, and everybody that works for Fraser Foods and everyone that works for every other grocery chain, and God bless them for being there for us.
Well, I appreciate it very much, Phil.
Yeah, I'm sorry too, Mr. Green. My cousin's just the scum of the earth.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way about your cousin.
It's all right, it's all right. Your cousin? What? If the guy isn't a bad guy, why do you say that? Is he a bad guy?
No, he's a great guy. We play pool and everything.
Well, then why say he's the scum of the earth?
Because on account of the perception.
I've never heard in my wildest days, man, such jackball logic than the crap that pours from the faces of you three people sitting here.
Very nice speech, Phil, but it's not going to get you anywhere, you see? I mean, I've been given that same speech for a lot of years.
All right, let's get back to the Notre Dame story. Monte Teo, what can you tell me about this, Bob? And first of all, I want to just say to people, you are a longtime season ticket holder in South Bend. You're also a season ticket holder of the University of Southern California, and for only one reason, right?
Absolutely, Phil. The only reason why we have season tickets for the USC Trojans is to see every other year the Notre Dame Fighting Irish come out here to the Coliseum to play the USC Trojans. Otherwise, I don't care whether they live or die downtown, and I say that with all due respect. The nice people at SC, we've been treated very well, but I'm not an SC fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan all the way. Have been for many, many years.
Now, just a question. Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not. I was not raised Catholic, but as a kid growing up in California, you rapidly got to know that every other kid was an SC and a UCLA fan and this and that, and I said, you know, I'm not going down that road. There's a lot of things I can't control. I knew I was going into the grocery business as a young man. I knew as the result of that, I'd be looked down upon by people. I knew that I would have, even though I was wealthy, I'd have a hard time getting dates, et cetera, et cetera. But there's one thing I can control. I don't have to go to any UCLA or USC games, and so that's that. And I looked around, what's the next best team? Notre Dame.
Well, and so it's been, huh?
Ever since I was 18, when I got the season tickets, and I had to change them over to my own name from my father, but yeah. We've been going to Notre Dame games. We love Notre Dame. We go to the SC game. And I can tell you this, Bill. I don't get away to a lot of the games because of my work. But we get to most of the ball games.
And did you go to the,
Yeah, we were there.
Okay, and any comment?
Well, it hurts. It hurt me because of all the years that we spent, not going to the title game and then to the championship, or at least not winning the championship. But to lose to Alabama is a kick to the, blankety blank. That's rough. I'd rather lose to SC than lose to Alabama.
Why?
I'm sorry?
Why? Why would you rather lose to SC than Alabama?
Are you ready for that?
Well, I mean,
you don't know?
No, I don't.
You're a football fan.
Yeah, I'm a football fan.
And you don't know why I would rather lose to SC than Alabama?
What is it, a thing about Southern football?
Well, we can start there, but so I never told you the story.
What story? We got more stories.
Well, I'm not going to,
Well, no, I want to hear it.
We got more stories here tonight.
What story?
Well, and if nobody has heard it, I'm not going to go into it, all right?
Well, no, go ahead.
I don't root for Alabama because I used to go out with a homecoming queen from there, and it didn't end very well, and that's, I guess, all I'll say, but I thought you knew the story.
No, I didn't know the story. Did it make the papers or something?
Yes, it did.
Oh, now you have to tell us what that story is.
Well,
okay, take a break. We'll be back. Robert Green will tell us why he doesn't root for Alabama. I want to get to this Teo story.
We'll get to the Teo story. I don't really want to tell the story of... Are you telling me I have to?
Yeah. Well, you asked me if I knew the story.
No, Mr. Green, I am telling you that you have to.
All right, we'll be right back with Robert Green and the story of why he doesn't like Alabama football having to do with dating a homecoming queen from Alabama when we get back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Where's the grocery clerk? What are you going to expect?
The Phil Hendry Show.
That's right. Margaret.
I think that he has to tell the story, otherwise I'm going to dig into it and find out about it myself.
All right, well, I got to go. As I said to Phil, and as I said to you, Ms. Gray, and as I said to your audience, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and I have been a Notre Dame football fan for a long time. I went to school, by the way, at San Diego State. When I was in Alabama for a football game between San Diego State and University of Alabama, Birmingham, this was not even Alabama, this was University of Alabama, Birmingham, I went out on a date with a homecoming queen from University of Alabama.
All right, but this was in Birmingham?
In Birmingham.
You were playing Alabama?
No, we were not playing Alabama, we were playing University of Alabama, Birmingham. It's a different school.
That's in Birmingham.
Oh, well, give him a cookie. What, Mr. Henry?
But just let him.
God.
I mean, give him a cookie.
Just be quiet.
Thank you. I was a young man at this time, and I want to caution your audience to understand I was a young man at this time. I was irresponsible. And I also knew at that time that I was going to be going into the grocery business. My father had already told me he expected me to take over a couple of these stores. They are very small stores, and we turned it into what it's become. And I'm very proud of that, Miss Gray.
I'm not looking to... Sir, I'm not looking to malign you. I just want you to tell the story.
Well, the story has not been public for a long time.
Please, Bob, you know, at this point.
Knowing the reputation of grocery clerks as being the scum of the earth, on this particular night, I had been drinking with some friends of mine who had traveled to Birmingham for this football game. These were guys from the school, and we also knew some guys locally down there in Alabama. A couple of friends of mine had gone into the Army. I said to them that I had this date with this Alabama, University of Alabama homecoming queen, and they wished me luck. And one of them gave me something that I will tell you about later. That's why I said to this girl's father that there was more than just me involved in this.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I want...
I want to hear the story. Go ahead.
I took the girl out, and again, I knew the reputation of grocery clerks, and I thought, well, even though the reputation of grocery clerks is not true, I think I'm going to live up to it tonight. That's just the way I was. I took another pull on this bottle of I think it was Wild Turkey. I threw the empty in the back, and I traveled over to her house.
So you are now drunk on your way to her home.
Good God.
Yes, sir. We went out, and we actually had a very nice time. We went to a dance place, went dancing, we had dinner. And as I was driving her home, I took out what my friend had given me, which I had in my pocket. Can we close that door, please? I took out what I had in my pocket, and I gave it to her, and she said, what is that?
What was it?
They were two Dramamine capsules.
I'm listening.
Oh, God.
Well, what is he about to say?
I'll do it. She said to me the same thing. What are these for? Or not the same. She said, what are these for? And I said to her, so you don't.
Oh, my God.
What did she say? Or what did you say?
I said there so you won't gag.
Oh, God.
You should have been arrested.
Then I took her home, and I kicked her out of the car while it was still rolling. So that's why, that's not why, That's why it got reported in the newspaper, and that's why I hate Alabama.
Because this girl went public with the story.
Her father did.
And you hate Alabama because they published the story about this episode.
Because, Phil, I didn't force her.
Did she do this willingly?
Yes.
Were you charged with any crime?
No, I was not.
Then why did she tell her father?
She told her
Excuse me, I was not on the mic. She told her... She told her father...
You're on the phone.
Right. She told her father so that she wouldn't get in trouble and that I'd get in trouble.
And how did her father know?
Because we got home late and apparently somebody driven by where we were parked and saw my car.
All right, so just so I know...
You know something? I don't believe you. I think you forced that girl.
No, I didn't force her. The reason why I can't stand telling this story is because I always wind up looking like the bad guy. She goes and tells her dad. He leaks this to the newspaper. My family gets all kinds of heat.
So I just want to be clear. You take this girl out. You hand her these two capsules. You tell her what it's for. How did she react to that?
She was fine with it. To a point, because, you know, when I said it was so she wouldn't, you know what, I meant it. And she didn't anticipate that it would be as big as it.
You know what, you are one of the most, you know something, I'm going to take back what I said about grocery. You are the most disgusting guest this show has ever had.
Same to you, lady.
I'm getting up and leaving. I'm not listening to any more. I'm not leaving the show, but I'm not listening to any more of this filth.
Well, I mean...
No, I'm not.
I just want to be clear that you did not force this woman.
No, I wasn't charged with any crime. She knew that I didn't.
She told her father that, though.
Yeah, she did.
And it got printed in the paper.
And that's ever since I've hated Alabama.
I mean, that's about as weird as it gets.
I want to tell you one thing, Phil, and I mean this.
What?
I'm only kidding.
What are you only kidding? What do you mean?
I'm only kidding. I made the whole story up.
You made the whole story up?
Yeah. I mean, you guys wanted me to...
Well, what? Goodbye, Bob.
Now, wait just a second, Phil.
Why'd you hang up on me? You could have ripped him an ass.
I'm tired of ripping people an ass. That's all. I'm tired of that. I don't want to yell. I just hung up on him. Bob, if you're listening, and I know you are because your ego is so oversized that you immediately turned the radio up to see what I'm talking about. If you're listening, Bob, before you come back on this show as a guest, I will expect an apology from you. And I don't care what kind of problem you make with me, with the other advertisers, with whoever syndicates my show, whoever they may be. You understand what I'm saying, Bob? I know you nod your head up and down, Bob, even though I can't see you. I'm just in my mind's eye. I can see your head going, yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. Thank you, Bob.
Are you telling me he made all of that up?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
I think he's lying. I think it actually happened, and he's saying he made it up because of my reaction.
Well, I don't care whether he made it up or not. For him to just say that he made it up pisses me off enough. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're taking this very calmly.
That's right.
Phil Hendry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Debbie Daly is the host of Daly's Daily on public radio and a frequent guest on our program. Debbie is also somebody that we're rather proud to know because she's the only, as far as we know, she's the only person with a hearing disability doing a morning radio show anywhere in radio in the United States. And as far as I know, in North America, she is on public radio every morning, 6 to 9 with Daly's Daily. And Debbie, how are you? You wanted to call. You wanted to comment on Bob Green.
Well, I am because my name
You went through this as a young lady? Okay, and by the way, people are having a hard time, maybe. Well, I better not say. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I understand that.
Phil, I'm Debbie. Hi, it's Margaret.
Hey, Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, dear. Phil, I want to tell the audience.
Debbie, can you hold on for a minute? Now what?
Well, the audience needs to be let in on this, Phil.
By me putting her on hold, now she's in on it, too.
Not if you calm down. Bud, get on the phone. Tell her we've had some difficulty with the,
Like technical difficulty.
Yes. Okay, Phil. Mother Margaret comes in and saves the day again.
Well, what?
The audience... Ladies and gentlemen, Debbie Daly believes that she's perfectly understandable. So any time that you say to her, oh, I need to interpret for you, she gets very angry and very depressed. And Phil, my brain surgeon partner here, just said to her, and if you can't understand Debbie...
I didn't say it to her.
You said it to the audience.
You smoothing it out, bud?
Hold on. Hold on for a minute. I gotta pick up the pieces...
Always having to come in behind you, Phil, and clean up all the defecation.
Oh, would you watch it, please? I got a little absent-minded.
Hold on, will you? Shh. Yeah, Deb. Yeah, it's okay. No, just had a problem with mechanicalism. Huh? Sure, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, I can't hear you. Hold on. Oh, Jesus.
What happened?
He started asking me stuff that I was going to have to answer.
Yeah, see, we kind of tiptoe around this lady.
Well, Phil, do you want to just go ahead and tell her, no, we can't understand you, Debbie, and we think it's really funny and we got to get an interpreter?
I don't think it's funny.
Exactly.
I mean, I can understand her.
I know you can, but the audience doesn't know what she's saying.
Hey, Debbie, it's Phil. I'm sorry, hon. We had, as Margaret mentioned, we had a problem here, or as Bud probably told you, right? So you understand. Yeah, we get these technical problems. So let's talk about this. You were a young lady. What was his name? Okay, so you were out on a date with John one night, and can I quote you? Well, I mean, quote you in the article that we may write later for our show blog when you said that he gave you 2 Dramamine. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. So he gave you these Dramamine, and... Okay. So he said... I'm sorry, I didn't hear. He said, shake hands with it, Debbie? So your father noticed the Bill Clinton... Bill Clinton stain.
Oh, God, Debbie, what did he do? Well, I know your father's a very open-minded man, but still, he was prone to temper, wasn't he? You had to sleep in the backyard, all right. Well, I don't know if it does happen, it's better that you blame the boy, but I do agree that it does happen.
Yeah, Debbie, it sure does happen, I guess. Did it happen much with you? Well, it's probably none of my business.
You're right, Debbie, he shouldn't have asked that question.
Why are we repeating everything you're saying?
We're not repeating everything you're saying, I don't think. No, I can understand everything you're saying perfectly.
Oh, my God.
Well, what is she doing now?
She's figured it out. You know, if her old man wasn't a major investor in this show...
What do you want to do, blow her off?
Gotta think of something.
Oh, get out of here. She's... Let me just... Hey, sorry, Debbie, another technical problem. No reason, just, we gotta get going now, Debbie.
No, wait, no.
I'm not nervous.
I don't think you should have her on the show anymore.
Well, you know what? The next time I have her on, I'm going to tell her the truth. I'm going to tell her, Debbie, nobody can understand a word you're saying.
Can't do that. She thinks she's got the number one rated morning show in among the morning shows hosted by, you know, people that can't hear.
Yeah, how many is that?
Well,
one?
I don't know, maybe two.
Well, she's probably got the number one show then.
Well, she's on public radio, Phil, and they get funding, from a number of very influential sources. If I were you, I'd let it go.
Believe me, I want to let it go. Believe me when I tell you I want to let it go. I don't know if she's going to let it go. She's got to, look at, somebody's got to tell her the truth. This is baloney. I'm not going to have her on the show and pretend like everybody in the audience knows what she's talking about. Especially this. And by the way, why should I be tiptoeing around her? She's the one that took the Dramamine.
Phil?
I don't care. Bob Grain may be Bob Grain, and he's a real scumbag, but guess what? All right, folks, so there is, thank you very much, Debbie. If she's listening, I guess she knows that I'm talking about her. During a now here is, not to beat the hell out of the Monty Teo story, but that's exactly what I want to do. I wanted to get to this catfish thing, okay?
No, catfishing is what?
Catfishing is when you create an online persona that just to align it with this catfish notion, it's an online persona that's bigger than you, and a catfish tends to give a fight to the fisherman, a really big fight for a fish that you would think is much bigger. So when you're fishing and you get a catfish on the line, you think you have a much bigger fish. When you finally pull it in, it's a little tiny catfish. So that's what catfishing is, a bigger than what a bigger than life persona, or a persona that outsizes your real persona. And you fall in love, if you're a guy or a chick or something, with whoever the hell it is. And this was first brought up in this press conference by this guy, Swarbrick, who is the athletic director at the University of Notre Dame. He said, I would refer all of you, if you're not already familiar with it, with both the documentary called Catfish, the MTV show, which is a derivative of that documentary, and the sort of associated things you'll find online and otherwise about catfish or catfishing. It's a scam that follows the exact arc of this, and it's perpetrated with shocking frequency. For me, shocking as an older guy who's not as versed in the online world. It is just as this one, an initial casual engagement, a developing relationship online, a subsequent trauma, traffic accident, illness, and then a death. I think this is horse dung because I think this guy made the whole thing up.
That's what that guy said?
No, I'm saying that about this guy, Swarbrick. See, he's digging himself deeper. See, if you better be telling the truth, Mr. Swarbrick, otherwise...
I think he's telling the truth. I think he's trying to cover for this. I think he's trying to believe that the kid is telling the truth.
I hope you're right. Because if he's not, if he's covering up the lies, because I think the kid's lying. You know, I just think he's lying. And
but now why do you think he's lying?
Because there's too much horse dung going on. How do you say, oh, I found out on the... First of all, he met her. Then he didn't meet her. You know, first of all, he met her at a Notre Dame-Stanford game. Then he didn't meet her at a Notre Dame-Stanford game. Then he saw her. Then she came and visited in the islands, and then she didn't. Then he was told on the 6th of December that she died. He didn't tell Notre Dame about the fact, or that it was a scam or something. I don't know. And then he didn't tell Notre Dame until the 26th of December. And in between those two dates, he's giving interviews to the media, telling them about this girlfriend of his that's sick with leukemia.
Well, he was. It could be argued that he was saying that because. I'm not done yet, but he could be saying that because.
Cricket.
Oh, shut up, Phil.
Well, will you get to the point?
Because he's trying to figure a way to explain it. He hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah, he's still trying to, you know, why? Why wouldn't you just come right out and say, I just found out I've been scammed? What the hell?
Because he's afraid to.
Why? Yeah, nobody's got an answer for that one. All right, we'll be right back. World famous... What?
I have an answer, but I don't want to give it right now.
Oh, horse. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
See, our close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, just proffered this theory.
I think this could be it.
Well, okay, Dan says that he feels it's possible it was a hoax perpetrated on Mr. Tao by one of Notre Dame's rivals, one of the ball clubs that they were playing, a big rival of Notre Dame. I don't know, who is it, Michigan, you know, Stanford? It could be at SC, is probably Notre Dame's most celebrated rival. But for me, that doesn't explain the inconsistencies with these dates, and especially this December 6th, December 26th timeline thing. Now, there's a whole bunch of characters involved in this story. There is not only the girlfriend, Lene Kakua, there is Koa Kakua, an older brother, who texts or texted Mr. Tao. He says that that's the guy that he learned she was dead from. He texted Monty Tao, saying that, you know, she's gone from the leukemia. There is then a sister. Her name is Ulani Ray Kakua. What, bud?
You say that Hawaiian name's pretty good.
Yes, you do. You don't know anything about pronouncing Southeast Asian names, though. That's I find the inconsistency interesting.
Well, is this about me all of a sudden?
No. It's just that every time you do a name from, like, Bangkok or something...
Yeah, you screw it up.
Yeah, you don't know how to do that.
Okay. What else?
Never mind. Daddy's mad. We better not get him madder.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? Let's stay on point and not use everything as an occasion to give me crap, okay?
I was admiring how you pronounce the names of these wogs.
Wog? That's what you call...
But that's what you call a white guy.
No, that's a howley.
Would you knock it off with wog and howley, please? Now, there is a sister. She's the sister of this woman, Lene Kakua. Her name is Uliana Ray. Tao publicly tweeted at her Twitter account welcoming her to the social media network on November the 4th. Her account also tweeted memorial messages at Lene's Twitter following her supposed death. According to TMZ, a diehard Notre Dame supporter who only wanted to be identified as Jan reportedly met Uliana through Twitter when she tried to arrange a meeting at the November 24th Notre Dame-USC game. And she was instead met by a former high school football star and an apparent friend of the Tao family. Oh, get out of here. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of people now involved in this, and I don't know if any of these people exist.
Like what?
Well, who is this Jan, a Notre Dame fan, who claims that she wanted to meet her, and she didn't. She apparently was met by a friend of the Tao family, Tui Asisopo. Is that the football player? There was a Tui Asisopo that played in the NFL. And it was told she was unable to attend the game. Jan tells us that Mr. Tui Asisopo was with a little girl during the USC meeting who they called Puka, and together they explained how Lene's sister couldn't... This Jan is bullcrap, too.
Well, it sounds like there's an entire cast of characters.
Yeah, like what they accuse you of doing.
Nobody's ever accused me of coming up with some horse dung like this, I'll tell you that, man. Maybe I ought to. If I'd come up with stuff like this, maybe I'd be making like 50 times the money I'm making right now, or I'd be in jail. Either one.
Either one would be preferable with where you are now.
Exactly. Now, just kidding around, folks. All right. And two other Twitter users made comments alleging that her Ulani account was fake and operated by the person behind the Lene account. So now this Jan said that she was met by a guy by the name of Tui Asisopo, and these people explained that she was sick. Oh, I think this Jan is bullcrap. I don't think she exists.
Why do you believe that there's other people that said it was fake?
Because this Jan is horse dung, because she's furthering the story. And this is a Sports Illustrated? No, TMZ, a diehard Notre Dame supporter who only wanted to be identified as Jan, met Uliani through Twitter. I don't believe that person exists. There's two other Twitter users who made comments alleging the account was fake and operated by the person behind the Lene account. I believe that. Because it's very easy on Twitter if you've used it a lot, and if you know how to use it, like I do, for instance, and other people, you know right away who's fake and who ain't. All you got to do is talk to people long enough, and you sure as hell know whether you're dealing with someone who's real or not. Twitter is a playground for bullcrap artists for, like that guy, that Polksmot guy that threatened my family and, you know, targeted my home. This guy was the scum of the earth until we finally had to just publicly call this guy out. And basically what you got over there are, and the thing that drives me crazy more than anything else about social networks and this kind of media operation, YouTube, I don't know if there's anybody listening from any of these networks, you people go out of your way to protect individuals who are harassing, who are threatening you, and I don't give a damn if you say, there's a process by which you go through. You make it difficult as hell for individuals to get at people that are using your social media to threaten and to harass. I don't give a damn if you're Facebook. I don't care if you're Twitter. I don't care if you're YouTube. And I know that you don't care what I think, but I'm just telling you. The day is fast approaching, man. It is rapidly approaching where somebody's going to get hurt, somebody's going to get killed, and then your asses are going to be in the spotlight, and you're going to have to explain exactly what steps you took. And your whole process will be exposed, and it will be exposed for what it is. Absolutely worthless. It is a little bit of it's a sham with a little bit of, a gold dust sprinkled in to make it look like it's all true. And I'm not saying that you guys want to get anybody hurt. I'm not saying that that's your intention. What I am saying is you cats are too busy counting the money to be concerned with little nonsense like that. You figure the law protects you. I got news for you. The law doesn't protect you. I got a big news flash for you. The law doesn't protect you. And what you're doing right now, you know, this whole, here we have a process by which you can report, and any threat we take very seriously. No, you don't take it seriously at all. You make it difficult as hell. People got to file things 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. You protect the identities of people to the nth degree because you figure if you expose who people are, nobody's going to use your precious network. Well, I got news for you. Someone's going to get killed, and you bastards are going to be out of business. If you don't think I'm kidding, I know what I'm talking about. And it's only a matter of time.
Well, you're talking about some pretty big guns there, Phil. Twitter.
Yeah, let me tell you about Twitter. As much fun as Twitter is, I'm going to tell you all about Twitter. You want to know? You ready? Twitter's run by, they've got a bare-bones staff over there. They do not have some massive staff. They are run by a bare-bone, they've stripped that staff down. Because the only thing Twitter is concerned with these days, how do we make money on this phenomenon that we've created? That's the only thing they give a damn about. The only thing they care about. They've got a very, very small staff. They're counting their dollars. They're trying to figure out how they can make those dollars into $5 and $10. And as far as the actual users and their safety and their protection, they could give a damn. Now, that is all you need to know about Twitter. It's a lot of fun. We all have a ball with it. I've got 6, 7, 10 accounts. But Twitter could care less about what's happening to you. They figure the law is protecting them because they post somewhere. And if you are patient enough, you'll find what their policy is. And they figure that they're legally protected. Someone's going to get killed. An attorney or two is going to subpoena your ass, Twitter, and they won't quit until they not only get the identities of these individuals, but they're also going to dig into exactly what steps you did take to protect people. And if it isn't you, Twitter, it's going to be YouTube, or it's going to be Facebook, or it's going to be somebody, and their ass is going to be twisting in the breeze. You don't think it'll happen? I got money that says it does. I got $10,000, just a gentleman's bet between anybody at Twitter and me. 10 grand within the next 10 years, it's going to happen.
If you live that long.
What do you mean if I live that? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I kind of somebody made. Well, I don't want to say.
Just shut up.
It's good coffee.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't want to make a big thing out of this, but you may know I follow, although this year I didn't, I do follow Canadian football only because of family that I have in Canada. My father played up there, and I like football so much that when there is no football, there's that.
What about indoor football?
Yeah, what was the football you used to watch down at the Staples Center?
That's arena football. I can't get into it. I can't get into it, you know.
Well, I get into arena football more than I get into three-down football.
Yeah, three downs. That's ridiculous that they play that.
Ridiculous, huh? You know, you're starting to say that because you know you get laughs with that, and I'm not laughing anymore.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
Okay. Guys, say what you want. I'm not going to watch indoor football unless they want to, you know. And I'll tell you, when we had a team here and they folded, it was fun and they were nice people. And I had a good time going up and getting drunk, but I don't know, the game. In any event, the Canadian Football League just lost a head coach to the Chicago Bears. Mark Trestman is now the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He comes from the Montreal Alouettes.
What's that?
An alouette is a bird.
Sounds kind of fruity.
It doesn't sound very masculine, does it?
What do you want me to tell you, okay? Cardinal doesn't sound very masculine either.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
I think it does.
What's masculine about cardinal as opposed to alouette?
Alouette, man, alouette. It's all, ooh, alouette.
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here, you nuts. You're about as articulate as Debbie Daly, okay?
That's dirty pool. You shouldn't have said that.
All right, I'm sorry, Debbie.
He can't hear you.
That's true. Yeah, she can't hear me, and she can't hear other. What is? I don't understand. All right, so what do we got going on? Yeah, so Mark Trestman has been hired by the Chicago Bears. Now he comes from the Montreal Alouettes, and the discussion they were having on this website was: is this good or is it bad for Canadian football every time we lose a coach? Marv Levy went to the United States. He came from the Montreal Alouettes, even though Marv Levy is an American coach.
Well, now wait a minute. Are these Canadians or are they American?
They're Americans.
Well, then they didn't go... They're
not from Canada.
They're not from Canada. What I'm telling you is they're Americans that go to Canada to, you know...
Get some experience.
Yeah, get experience, but get employment mostly. Because a lot of these guys are very... Mark Trestman went to Canada with a resume that already included coaching with Carolina, the San Francisco 49ers. He had a lot of assistant coaching chops. He went to Canada to get a head coaching job.
So he got that job.
He got the head coaching job with Montreal. He won a couple of championships there. The Chicago Bears, he caught the eye of the Chicago Bears as the head coach, and they hired him. So no, he's not a Canadian. Marv Levy, also an American, went up there. He coached, and he came down to the United States to Kansas City and then to Buffalo. And I think going way, way back, there's other, like Bud Grant was from the Canadian League. And they're asking the question, is this good or bad for our league?
Who is?
The Canadians are.
Yeah, the Canadians want to know. What do they want to know? Well?
They want to know if this is a good thing. If people see a coach going from Canada to the United States, does it make Canada look like a Mickey Mouse minor league, like no guy wants to stay there? What does it look like, you know?
Well, I don't know much about football, but isn't it Mickey Mouse?
Well, no, it's not Mickey Mouse, but it is a minor league.
Yeah, okay, I'd say that. I'm saying not Mickey Mouse.
What do you mean by, if a minor league, got to be Mickey Mouse?
No, because they have air travel and they have, I'd say if it's a minor league, if it's a Mickey Mouse league, it's the best one you've ever seen. It's minor league. And I don't think you call it Mickey Mouse, you say it's a minor league. But I tell you, like I said, it's one of the best minor leagues you'll ever play in because you've got the hotel accommodations. You have the air travel, you have the support from the team staff. It's all done very, very well. You know, and if you're playing in a city like Toronto or Montreal where there's, you know, it's a big city and you have a big city facility.
Well, what are they, where are the other teams? You're saying big cities.
Well, they've got a team in Saskatchewan, okay?
What?
Saskatchewan. But they got a team.
That's a real place.
Yes, it's a real place.
Well, I don't know, man. You'll make stuff up.
I don't make that up. It's a real place.
And it's in Canada.
Forget it.
What a baby.
Just forget it, man. I'm not going to go down this road with you, okay?
Okay, I believe it's real.
It's in Canada. It's the province called Saskatchewan. They got a city there. Oh, here we go.
What?
What?
The city is Regina. Okay. Get out of here, bud. You said... Then shut up. I'm not doing any more.
Well, you're the one that said that name.
It's the name of the city. It's the name of the city.
Yeah, but you don't have... You knew that... You knew it was going to be funny.
I got asked by you guys, what's the name of the city? I told you the name of the city. That's the city.
You said it's Saskatchewan or Kakatawan or something.
Saskatchewan is the state or the province. Speaking of football, Ryan Leaf heads to prison after getting kicked out of a drug treatment program. Former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf is heading to prison now that he's been kicked out of a drug treatment center. According to Sports Illustrated, Leaf, who played for the San Diego Chargers, was kicked out of a treatment program for behavioral problems, including threatening a member of the staff. He will now be transferred to the Montana State Prison.
God! What happened to that guy?
Well, he wasn't any good anyway.
Well, he had a tough... From the very beginning, this guy, Ryan Leaf, was sort of an oddball. I guess he didn't really fit in with the Chargers. He had a very rough outing in the professional ranks as a quarterback. The Montana Department of Corrections terminated Leaf. This is the official statement from the parole administrator. The Montana Department of Corrections terminated Leaf from the treatment program and placed him in prison after he was found guilty of behavior that violated conditions of his drug treatment program. The violations included threatening a program staff member. Leaf pled guilty in May to breaking into two houses and stealing prescription painkillers. He was sentenced to 5 years, including 9 months in a drug treatment facility. I had no idea that he was in this kind of trouble. The Port Clinton News Herald reports...
Well, why do you think that's unusual? Just because he's white?
Well, why would you attribute that?
Well,
you see black guys doing this all the time.
Hey. What, give me the last black guy that got busted for this, and that this is happening to. Go ahead. Quick. Come on.
You're not letting me think.
Come on. Let's go. Yeah, can't think of anybody, can you?
Well, I mean, if I went, I'd take a look in the newspaper.
Oh, if you take a look in the newspaper. If this was any guy who had a high profile and who was known to me to be, an individual that had a troubled past, I would be reading this story. It ain't got nothing to do with him being white. Okay? If there was a black player in this kind of trouble, I'd be talking about it. Where is it? Where's the story? Where is he? Come on. High profile? This is a headline story, man. I pulled this right off of the,
Let me see that. The Flagstaff Bugle, huh?
No, it isn't. The Flagstaff Bugle?
I used to write for them.
I'll bet you did.
That is uncalled for.
Yeah, well, you're the one brought up a Flagstaff Bugle. Did you write for them or didn't you?
I'm not answering any questions from something like that. Get it away from me.
Ms. Gray,
Hey. Leaf pled guilty in May to breaking into two houses and stealing prescription painkillers. However, Mr. Dickman did not want to press charges.
Great.
Leaf was sentenced to 5 years. I already read this part. The Port Clinton News Herald reports that if... maybe that's where you work. The Port Clinton News Herald...
No, but I know some people that do.
You do?
No.
Chop.
The Port Clinton News Herald reports that if Leaf had completed the 9-month stint in rehab, he would have likely been given parole and would never have gone to jail. After his arrest, Leaf said the following, quote, I've made some mistakes. I have no excuses. I'm using the tools I've learned to move forward rather than backwards and will be open to talking about the details in the days to come. I am confident that there will be further understanding when the facts are revealed and feel very blessed for all the support, especially for my friends and family. It is unclear how long Leaf will have to serve in Montana State Prison. ESPN reports that Ryan Leaf was the number 2 pick in the 1998 draft. He was out of the league in 2001. He's considered one of the biggest busts in NFL history. How about that? I remember when this guy broke in to the league.
Where did he go, to Montana?
No, he went to Washington, I believe. And very highly touted, extremely talented, had a great college career. The Chargers had high hopes for him, and he got to the NFL, and they just, it sucked. And he took all kinds of heat from the fans and the media. got into all kinds of, you know, extra, not all kinds of extracurricular problems, but I think that there was some off-field stuff that happened. I think he made some comments about the people covering him. But be that as it may, it was just, you know, it was shocking. And, you know, when I think of NFL busts, it doesn't necessarily have to do with a guy's, you know, has a drug problem. He just isn't good enough to play in the NFL. One of them was this guy, Brian Bosworth, your big, the guy you like, Margaret.
Oh, he's gorgeous. I don't know anything about his football playing, though, but I thought he was absolutely gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And
all right, okay, Margaret.
Well, you don't understand. You're not a woman.
Well, thank goodness I'm not, if for just that reason. But anyway, Bosworth played at Oklahoma. He was a badass. He came to the NFL. He stunk it up.
Yeah, he wasn't any good at all, man. But it was bad about him.
Yeah, man, that guy couldn't even tackle, man. He would play the middle linebacker, couldn't even tackle.
But he did get a lot of commercials and stuff, you know.
Well, he made his money.
Yeah, he made some money. But he stunk to high heaven, Brian Bosworth. I can't think of anybody else right now, but occasionally it happens, and I'm not saying that I like it. I'm not saying that I don't revel in a person's failure. You know, I just, to me, it's sad. And I think if they, you know, if someone's a dirtbag.
Yeah, if they're a dirtbag, man, you don't mind them failing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you kind of go, well, there you go, man. Karma's a bitch, brother, you know. And looks like, but I just, when people fail because of these kinds of problems, it's rough, you know. I don't think it's cool, but hey, that's life. And like I said,
karma's a bitch.
Exactly. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, final segment of our program, and I've got something to announce that I announced to our backstage pass members before the show, but I'd like to now make it a public announcement to any and all listening to the broadcast here in the last few minutes. It's an opportunity for you if you're into animating things. I've got a golden opportunity for you coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
In a moment, I've got a little announcement for you guys having to do with our one-man show. I just wanted to mention TotalSports.com ranks the 12 biggest draft busts of all time. This is just their opinion, but the number 12 is interesting. Lawrence Phillips, that's the 12th biggest draft bust of all time. When you hear the story of Lawrence Phillips, not so much Lawrence Phillips, but who the Rams could have had. Lawrence Phillips played for 4 years in the NFL, and he rushed for around 1,453 yards, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 300-plus yards a year, which is not, that ain't good. He was drafted sixth overall, came out of Nebraska, 14 touchdowns in four seasons, okay? So that just isn't good. They knew that, the Rams knew that the guy had character issues, including, and I'm quoting Total Sports, a tendency to beat up his female companions, end of quote. But I guess they thought they could change him, quote unquote. Here's who the Rams could have had in that draft. Eddie George, running back who went on to play great with the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans. Marvin Harrison, who ought to be Hall of Fame, wide receiver with the Colts, Indianapolis Colts. Or, ta-da, Ray Lewis.
That's the one that's playing now.
Yeah, Ray Lewis is great.
Ray Lewis is going to be retiring this year. He's in the Hall of Fame, hands down. That's who the Rams could have had. Instead, they got Lawrence Phillips. All right. You know what? Monday morning quarterbacking, as they say, folks. There's a reason why they call it Monday morning quarterbacking, because, you know, you got that hindsight is 20/20, you know.
Well, you just said one cliche and then said another.
Right. Monday morning quarterbacking is because hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, because, you know, you cross the bridge when you get to it.
Yeah, whatever, bud. All right, so, never mind. Here's what we'd like. There is a clip, a Phil Hendry clip, a classic Phil Hendry clip that is available for download on podcast number one, episode number one of our podcast, and it is also on one of our CDs. It's also in our archives. It's called All You Can Eat Negro. All You Can Eat Negro. We would like that animated. and we'd like to see your animation of that clip. You just listen to the clip and animate to it. Now, you don't have to spend, we're not looking for the most expensively done. We're not looking for the most bells and whistles one. We're just looking for the best. The very best animated clip using as the audio track All You Can Eat N-E-G-R-O.
Right, spell it out.
Well, you know, times change. Back when we did the bit, it might have been less offensive. Now, it probably, we could probably blank it out. But in any event, All You Can Eat N, but it ain't the N word that you're thinking of. Now, you can find that clip on episode number one of the Phil Hendry Show podcast. And what we'd like you to do, if you are into the animation thing, is to animate that. And again, we're not looking for the most expensive one. We're not looking for the most bells and whistles one. We're not looking for the most incredibly far out Peter Jackson, you know, Fellowship of the Rings kind of animation. We're just looking for the best animated example of that. And if we choose yours, we will give you full credit. And that means full credit on our one-man show. We'll give you full credit here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is an opportunity for you to have your animated clip, your animation work, seen by a lot of people, potentially millions of people, and be seen by a lot of people in the industry, in the entertainment industry, because we are going to have people from that industry following this show and watching the show, and your work will be seen by them. We'll give you credit in the show. We will also give you credit in the playbill and so forth. Now, if you'd like to take a crack at that, send us that clip. And however, I would like it, obviously, it has to be on some kind of a disc, because I just don't think it's feasible for people to be emailing these things, man. You know, it's a good size clip. All You Can Eat Negro is about 8 minutes, I think. So send that to us on a disc, if you'd like. I think that'd be the only practical way, because I don't think sending it, and I don't know if anybody's going to even send it on a beta tape or VHS tape. We don't have the means to view it. So send that to us on a disc and send it to the following address: The Phil Hendry Show, and 1014 South Westlake Boulevard, number 163, Westlake Village, California, 91361. And we will post that address on the website right after the show, so don't worry, you will be able to see it there.
And this is an opportunity for people to have this clip seen by some very important people in Hollywood.
Yes, because we know we're going to have some folks at the show who work in the industry, and we're not only going to do the show in Los Angeles, we will have it on stage in New York as well, as other cities. So, again, we are looking to animate the famous Phil Hendry Show clip, All You Can Eat Negro, and we'd like to see your version of that. And again, just the best one, not the most expensive one, not the most polished, not the most professional necessarily, the best. And we'll use that clip and for our show. And again, we'll have that address posted for you after the show. We'll get it up on the website after the show. It'll be there by the time you get out of bed tomorrow morning. How about that? So there you go.
That sounded like a great opportunity for a lot of young animators and everything to do it.
Yeah.
What kind? Animators?
Animator.
Yeah, it is. And it's exciting to get the audience involved, because, you know, by the way, I'll make this announcement on Facebook, too, on our fan page and elsewhere. But, you know, I get from folks all the time, and I've had the comments many times, hey, Phil, have you ever thought about somebody, you know, animating your character? Well, of course, yes, we have. It's not a stupid question, but it's a question we've been playing with for the last 10, 12 years. Have you thought about, Phil, you know, having illustrations of the characters? Yes, we have. But, you know, you want a reason to use them. With our one-man show, we're now able to put into play all of these ideas and sort of bring them all together for what it is we've got planned. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And also with me here is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray. And we invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com.
with a backstage pass and take a look at all of the exciting things that we've got going on over there. Thousands of hours of audio, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. Till tonight at 10 o'clock, folks, let that be a lesson to you.
10 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, 10 o'clock Pacific time, sorry.
Phil Hendry.